أشهد أن محمدا رسول الله أشهد أن محمدا رسول الله حي على الصلاة حي على الصلاة حي على الفلاح حي على الفلاح الله أكبر الله أكبر لا
عليه وعلى آله وصحبه وسلم اللهم رب هذه الدعاء والسلام والصلاة والسلام آتي محمد الفضيلة بالوسيلة فإن الحمد لله تعالى نحمده ونستعينه ونؤمن به ونتوكل عليه ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا من يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلله فلا هادي له واشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له واشهد أن محمدًا عبده ورسوله أرسله الله بالهدى ودين الحق ليظهره على الدين كله ولو كره المشركون وقال سيدنا مصطفى صلى الله عليه وسلم إن أصدق حديث كتاب الله وخير هدي هدي محمد صلى الله عليه وسلم وأن شر الأمور محدثاتها وكل محدثة بدعة وكل بدعة ضلالة وكل ضلالة في النار أما بعد فيقول الله تبارك وتعالى يا أيها الذين آمنوا لا تخونوا الله ورسوله لا تخونوا الله ورسوله فتخونوا أماناتكم وأنتم لا تعلمون. My brothers and sisters, alhamdulillah rabbil alameen, all praises are due to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. My first advice is for us all to have taqwa of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and Allah says in the Quran, أَيُّ بَلِيْبَ اتَّقُوا اللَّهَ حَقَّ تَقَاتِي وَلَا تَمُوتُنَّ إِلَّا وَأَنْتُمْ مُسْلِمُونَ. Quite some years ago, I stopped writing down khutbah al-jum'ah. In the very beginning, I used to write down the outline of the khutbah and say, I'm going to talk about this, and try to follow and outline. But when I used to do that, I used to feel that I was deceiving myself. And the reason I felt that I was deceiving myself is because even though I would write down certain things to say, I wanted to say something else. So I tried that, and then I discarded the practice. That's why when I stand up on Friday, I don't have any paper in my hand that I'm reading from. I don't have an outline or a guideline that I'm reading from. And then sometimes I would be reading what I'm saying, and I felt that it's not getting to the point. You know, the best type of speech is what is short but it's to the point, and I like to be to the point. So I decided that I would always talk about If there was something particular in the community going on, issues, I would address the issues going on. And even if they were difficult issues, I would address that. That's why we address racism, we address homosexuality, we address parenting, we address spousal abuse, child abuse, drugs, alcohol. That's why we address all those issues, because there are issues that have an impact on us as a Ummah, globally and particularly locally. So today, I got something in the mail. It wasn't mailed, it was, they put it in the mailbox. It's a local church. And we get stuff from churches all the time. And, you know, Christians do things that Muslims should do. And they do things that we shouldn't do. You know, the Prophet ﷺ said, Al-hikmatu dalatul mu'min fa'aynama wajadaha fahuwa ahakku biha. He says, wisdom is the lost item of the believer. And no matter where he finds it, he has more right to it. Now, a lot of our ideology as Muslims, and this is something that we have to contend with, and we have to deal with it, particularly Muslim Americans, because this is a free country, and can't nobody stop me from what I'm about to say. Many Muslim countries, if you say certain things in the khutbah on Friday, there are people waiting outside to arrest you, and maybe even arrest your family, maybe even kill you, based upon what you say on Salat al-Jum'ah. I had a sheikh, his name was Taqalawi. You might know Sheikh Taqalawi, he's a Sudanese. And one day he gave a khutbah, this was during the Iranian Revolution. And he gave some fiery khutbahs too, you know. And the Imam of the Masjid, his name was Sheikh Hadiya. And he was one of my sheikhs, he took me up under his wing. He was like a grandfather to me. And Sheikh Taqalawi used to come. That was his close friend, so he would come give the khutbah. So he was giving the khutbah. He was talking about the Iranian Revolution because it had just went on. So he was saying that if the people in Iran can, you know, do that and to try to establish Islam in their country, are you any less than them? He was kicking it, right? So then he said, I'm telling you right now, that when this khutbah is over, they're going to arrest me. And Lord and behold, after that khutbah was over, and when he stepped outside, They had the security people right there, man. They swept them right away. They ain't waste no time. I'm like, subhanAllah. So I always appreciated the freedom in America to talk about things that are on my mind. So brothers and sisters, this is what's on my mind. One of the things, I always remember this verse in the hadith that's in Sahih al-Bukhari. And I like this hadith. And I would give anything if I could have been present when this discourse happened between the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam and the companion Ubay ibn Ka'ab. And Ubay ibn Ka'ab was one of the most proficient people at reciting the Quran. So one time he said, Ya Ubay, iqra alayya al-Quran. He said, Ubay, I want you to recite some Quran to me. And Ubay said, Ya Rasulullah, aqra'ahu alayka wa alayka nazal. He said, O Messenger of Allah, you mean you want me to recite it to you when it was revealed to you? And then the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam said, Inni uhibbu an asma'ahu min ghayri. He said, I like to hear it from other than myself. So Ubay started to recite from Surah An-Nisa until he got to the verse where it said, فَكَيْفَ إِذَا جِئْنَا عَلَىٰ كُلِّ أُمَّةٍ بِشَهِيدٍ وَجِئْنَا بِكَ عَلَىٰ هَؤُلَاءِ شَهِيدًا. And he got to the point where the verse said, and how is it? And this is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he's talking to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And many verses are directly talking to the Prophet ﷺ so that he can really assess who he is and what he's supposed to do, what his role is. And that's what Allah does to all of us. Allah talks to us in the Kitab so that we can assess our role, who we are. You know, who we need to be. Doesn't take away from our personality, but we have two types of personality. You have your natural personality that you have and your inclination that you were born with as a person. Like Allah says, وَلِكُلٍ وَجْحَةٌ هُوَ مَوَلِيهَا فَاسْتَبِقُوا الْخَيْرَاتِ. Each person has a direction that he's turned. You have that personality. Then you have your Islamic personality. And what the Muslim does, what we're supposed to do, is we're supposed to superimpose the Islamic personality over whatever personality trait we have already. And when we do that, it may cancel out some things. It may say, well, okay, you gotta get rid of this because the Islamic personality is coming in. This is the part of the character building process of Islam. That's what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala speaks to us in different verses. You know, like when the verse came down about the slander of Aisha, and Allah said, وَلَوْلَا إِذَا سِمِعْتُمُوهُ ظَنَّ الْمُؤْمِنُونَ وَالْمُؤْمِنَاتِ بِأَنفُسِهِمْ خَيْرًا وَقَالُوا هَذَا إِفْكٌ مُبِينٌ. He says, and how come when this slander came to you about Aisha, you didn't think good of them? So he's saying that, hey, next time something comes like that, don't automatically go to the bed. You know, go to, this is the way. And so Allah said to the Prophet, فَكَيْفَ إِذَا جِئْنَا عَلَى كُلِّ أُمَّةٍ بِشَهِيدٍ وَجِئْنَا بِكَ عَلَى هَؤُلَاءِ شَهِيدًا. And how is it that we have brought forth to every nation a witness, and we have brought you upon this nation, these people, as a witness, as a shaheed, as a shaheed, as a witness. So when he got to that verse, the Prophet alayhi salam said, Hasbuka al-an, Ubay, that's enough right now, Ubay. And Ubay said, and I looked up and I saw that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam was crying from both eyes. Because one of the things, one of the outstanding things about the Muslim Ummah is its role. The role. What is the role of the Ummah? What's the role? Why are we here? Of course we're here to worship Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We get that. But what are we to the society? What are we are supposed to be doing at different times and events that are going on, and the Muslims, we're aware of it. What are we supposed to be saying? Are we supposed to be silent? Are we supposed to speak out? What do we stand for? We just stand for economic growth? We just stand for education? Or do we stand for righteousness? Do we stand for some sort of morality? Is there some sort of code that we hold dear? This is what the Shahada is about. And even when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, when he clarified the Prophet's role, because the Prophet is learning just like we're learning. He was in the learning stage. He was learning things from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Inna arsalnaka, verily we have sent you, Shahida. وَمُبَشِّرًا وَنَذِيرًا وَدَاعِيًا إِلَى اللَّهِ بِإِذْنِهِ وَسِرَاجًا مُنِيرًا. Allah says, verily we have sent you as a witness and a glad, and as a giver of glad tidings and a warner and someone who invites to Allah by his permission and as an illuminating light. Now, brothers and sisters, when I read this tract that I got in from the Christian group, it was a local church. They were talking about homosexuality. They were trying to make sense of it, trying to explain it from a biblical perspective, because a lot of Christians feel that they're trying to stuff homosexuality down the throat of the country, and I believe that, and I agree with that. I think that they're trying to force it on us, that we have to accept it like everything else. And they were kind of bearing witness to them, and they even have a group of Christians called the Jehovah Witnesses. And they come knock on your door, and they have this concept of bearing witness, which I agree with that concept, because this is a very important part of the Islamic moral personality, is someone that bears witness. And in order to bear witness, you have to have a position. I'm not talking about Islamic extremism. I'm not talking about Islamic extremism either. I'm talking about having a position, having a say-so. And I'm not saying that it's easy. But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, when He describes our role, see, some things are individual things that we have to do, our salawatul khams and our zakat and siyam ramadan and hajjul bayt, man istata'a ilayhi sabila. They're individual things that we have to do. Some things Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has made it incumbent on the ummah, or at least a good portion of the ummah, to do. That somebody got to be doing this. Like, for example, enjoining the good and forbidding the evil. We know that everybody doesn't have to do it to the same degree, but Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala kum minkum ummatan yad'una ila al-khayri wa ya'muruna bil-ma'rufi wa yanhauna 'anil munkar. Let there be from amongst you a group of people calling to good, enjoining good, and forbidding evil. But this shahada piece, this is one of the most important issues of our time. It really is. Because we're very silent. We're very complacent. Now, I know you take a chance when you speak out on issues. You take a chance of alienating people. There's nothing wrong with alienating certain people. You take a chance of cutting some ties. You know, if I say to somebody who is wrong with me, and I see the way that he treats his wife, for example, the way maybe he coming, he doing this and that, now I'm going to say something about it. And that might even cut him off a little bit. It's better, from his perspective, man, just be cool. Someone may say, hey, man, just, you know, let live with that. But see, the verse about the bearing witness keeps haunting me, because the Prophet ﷺ was so moved when Allah, when he heard that verse, فَكَيْفَ إِذَا جِئْنَا عَلَى كُلِّ أُمَّةٍ بِشَهِيدٍ وَجِئْنَا بِكَ عَلَى هَؤُلَاءِ شَهِيدًا. He was so moved by that. And then Allah says, وَكَذَلِكَ جَعَوْنَاكُمْ أُمَّةً وَسَطًا لِتَكُونُوا شُهَدَاءَ عَلَى النَّاسِ وَيَكُونُ الرَّسُولُ عَلَيْكُمْ شَهِيدًا. And He says, and in this way we have made you أُمَّةً وَسَطًا. We have made you a righteous ummah. Some people, some ulama say it means adila. Some mean is to say mutawassita, balance, meaning that it's not extreme to either side. But he put the lama sababiyya. In Arabic language, they have something called a lama sababiyya. It's the lam, the letter lam, that indicates causation or a reason for something. So Allah says, وَكَذَلِكَ جَعَوْنَاكُمْ أُمَّةً وَسَطًا. He says, and in this manner, we have made you a righteous and upstanding ummah. But he mentions that there is a purpose connected to him making us a righteous ummah. You know, now, I mean, listen, especially in today's times, you know, people can hardly even tell the difference between right, wrong, left, right, up, down. They don't know. And stuff is happening so fast. The weather's changing. They're saying it's the thermal nuclear free. They're trying to find up new names for weather patterns. They don't understand why this happened. Why people killing their kids. Why they can't make heads or tails of none of this. But in our scripture, much of this is explained very clearly. Any Muslim should know what time it is. We know we're living in the last days. We know we're approaching the time of the Dajjal Antichrist. We know that. Although Muslims aren't supposed to talk to that about that, I think a lot of imams, they talk about that too much. They might lose their job. I mean, I get it. But yet, that is the reality of what's going on. So when I see Christians talking about this kind of stuff, I get a little mad. I'm gonna. not jealous in a, it's a type of jealousy, and maybe my heart is not right, because I'm saying, why we ain't doing that? Why are we so afraid to talk about the truth? Why are we so afraid to take a stance? Why are we so scared of what somebody gonna say? Why do we go after the real easy, stupid stuff, like when somebody make a video, we wanna go ahead and start making a big deal about somebody's Katie, whatever her name was, video on YouTube? When the prophet didn't do that. The prophet didn't go after crumbs. He called to the religion. He stood up for the values. So when Allah puts this lamb of sababiyah, this lamb of causation, he says, "Wa kadhalika." And the thing is, brothers and sisters, you know, we can't ignore this. When Allah talks about monumental issues that affect civilization, you just can't sweep that under the rug and say it don't mean nothing. He says, "We've made you a righteous ummah." Why? لِتَكُونُوا شُهَدَاءَ عَلَى النَّاسِ, so that you will be the bearers of witness over the people. And this is going to be a difficult position for Muslims to take, collectively, individually. It's difficult. I've been at meetings, you know, multicultural meetings and things, and I had to say my piece. I'm with you on that. I disagree with that. But Reverend, that doesn't mean we can't work together on some other things. How are you on the drug issue? You against the drug? I'm with you on that. But Jesus is not my Lord. I'm sorry. So don't include me in your prayer. I'm not trying to, you know, but just as I got to bear witness. And they say, "Oh, okay, man. Okay, we get it." When other issues come up. Now, I'm not saying I'm no braver than anybody else, because I had the same trepidation sometimes, although over a period of time it becomes less and less. At this point, I really don't care, because it's coming so close. But this is one of the principal roles of the Muslim. Someone that bears witness. Meaning that they, one, assess the situation that they're living in. Two, they make a distinction between the right and the wrong. Three, they bear witness as to their status. وَتَبَعْنَا رَسُولًا فَاكْتُبْنَا مَعَ الشَّاهِدِينَ. Allah says, you know, they said that we believe in our, you know, in your book. We followed your prophet. فَاكْتُوبْنَا مَعَ الشَّهِدِينَ. Therefore, write us down from amongst those who bear witness. I believe, wallahu a'lam, that the lack of bearing witness brings about a certain amount of disgrace to the Muslim ummah. It just puts us in a disgraceful area. You know, we might complain about, you know, because we like to find issues that, you know, real simple, but you know, ain't really, you know, it's like a fluffy issue. You know, somebody sent me something on Facebook. Yeah, we got a petition against this video because they did something against Islam, and this is boycott. There ain't nobody boycotting. Yeah, we still supposed to be boycotting Switzerland for about the cartoon about 4 or 5 years ago. Because no, that doesn't mean anything. But bearing witness for issues means something. Whether you start within your own family, whether you start in your own community and the people you deal with, doesn't, listen, people will appreciate. People are looking for somebody to bear witness now. The Prophet made his whole mission about bearing witness, even to the point where he got to the farewell khutbah. He said, "Hal balaght? Allahumma ashhad. Have I not given a message? O Allah, bear witness." This is why we have Shahada, even to become a Muslim. You have to say, I bear witness, there's no God except Allah. I bear witness that Muhammad is the messenger of Allah, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. In order to become Muslim, you have to bear witness. Now, we live in a time where they're trying to get people to... See, they want you to... And I got to talk about this. They want you to give in to this disease, which is called wahm. This is the disease that the Prophet talked about. This is a disease where you really don't have any real constitution about yourself. You, whatever way is better for you financially, you'll go with it. Whatever way is not going to cost, you don't really have a position. Because look at the way the media is putting things. More and more, if you have a position, this is what this paper was about. If you have a position about something, especially a moral position, they will demonize you. If you don't believe in your daughter having boyfriends and your son going out drinking, and if you think there's something wrong with teenage pregnancy with no father, and don't touch homosexuality, because they'll demonize you. So there's a risk involved. But every prophet that bore witness had to deal with that risk that was involved. Everyone, this is part of his narrative. From Nuh alayhi salam, he was ridiculed by the people as he's building this ark. This is his position. That's bearing witness. I'm bearing witness. There's no God except Allah. And that what you're doing, they all had to go through that. This is part of the rites of passage for a Muslim, especially a Muslim man. That's part of the rites of passage because, you know, it takes away, I think, from our manhood when we are too afraid to bear witness, especially in a place of safety, like America. This ain't completely safe. You know, yeah, people, you know, and they say, bug the punk, all that. I know that. I get that. But it's not as bad as some other places. But all the Anbiya went through that rite of passage. Look at Ibrahim. He asked him, what are these tamathi that you're bowing to? He had to question it. I'm bearing witness. I'm not doing that. قُلْ يَا أَيْهَا الْكَافِرُونَ لَا أَعْبُدُ مَا تَعْبُدُونَ. Again, this is shahada. This is bearing witness. Just saying, no, I don't do that. I'm not that person. I'm not that guy. I'm not that woman. You don't have to keep stressing it, but you got to get it out the system. Yusuf alayhi salam, while he's in the prison, and they came questioning him about their dreams. What the first, before he even answered the question, he said, "Ya sahibi asijni arababun matafariqun khairun am Allah wahid qahhar ma ta'budun min dunihi illa asma'an samaytumuha antum wa aba'ukum ma anzalallahu biha min sultanin in al-hukm illa lillah." This is bearing witness. He said, they asked him a question about their dream. He said, okay, man, wait, hold up. Before I answer any questions, let me just say this. I got a question for you. He's slick. Are many gods better or one supreme god? Is that the best? Then he went on, now he really bearing witness now. All you are worshipping other than Allah are names. Samaytumuha wa antum wa aba'ukum. That you and your fathers have made up. He's like, let me get that clear to y'all first before I answer the question. These other guys you're worshipping, they just a bunch of names. Y'all made up. Your fathers made up. Ma Angelo, hope you have your soul torn. Allah did not say any authority for you to do that. It'll hukmu illa Allah. Judgment is to Allah, and He's commanded that you don't worship except Him. That's the right religious. Okay, fine. Now, I'll answer your question. Let me get that out the way. This is right, this is wrong, this is what I stand for. Now, can I help you? That don't mean if somebody walk in your store, you gotta say, I'm gonna. But when the time comes, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tests all of us in taking a stand, having the constitution. We think, because you gotta keep in mind, I'm telling you the truth, brothers and sisters. Some people do try to create a lot of fear within the Muslim community, so we're afraid of bearing witness. Yeah. Some people even raise money on fear all the time. I'm talking about Muslims, but I just leave that alone for a minute. But let me tell you about people in general, not just Americans. When people are in darkness, we owe it to them to shed light on this topic. We owe it. If you work around non-Muslims, you owe it to them. If you have a family that aren't Muslim, you owe it to them. You don't have to keep drilling to them, but you know, if you got a store or something like that, man, this, you know what, this, they gonna still buy from you, dude. If you got the product, if you speak up on things, it's okay. If you go to school, you're a student, and issues come about, and you have an opportunity to shed some truth on it, do it. There are people, yes, you will go through the rites of passage because everybody's not trying to hear the proof, the truth. But that's good. I'd rather a person let me know where he stands with respect to my truth than me be so ignorant about it. I think he's on my side and he's really not. You know, if you watch The Godfather, you just keep your friends closer, your enemies what? Closer. I'd rather know. This is my position. And I don't want to deceive anybody about my position as a Muslim. About my kids, my family, what I hold to be dear, the values, my moral position on issues. I don't want nobody to be under any pretenses about it. But this is a rite of passage that every Muslim has to go. Why? Because. I'm going to tell you why it's a rite of passage. Why bearing witness is a rite of passage. Here's why. Going back to the Lama Sababiyya here in the verse. Allah says, وَكَذَلِكَ جَعَلْنَاكُمْ أُمَّةً وَسَطًا. And this way, we have made you a righteous ummah. Why? Why, Allah? Why did you give it to us?